Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another daylight episode of Sour Graps. I'm trying to do these more often. It allows me to sleep instead of staying up late to do these, because I can't get started on them if I do them at night until after my wife and kid go to bed. So, but now, you know, they're out on a play date. So I said, why not? Why not? So I fixed myself a lovely fruit smoothie. Oh, it's so sweet. Last night wasn't sweet on SmackDown. Oh, no. No. Another terrible episode. I mean, some people might say it was good, you know, because there was a title change, which never happens on TV. But who cares about any of the people involved in that, considering how they've booked them? And I have zero faith in them actually doing something worthwhile with Shinsuke Nakamura for the first time in ever. We'll see. Maybe it gets better going on. Maybe. I mean, but it's WWE, so. Also, there were the first half hour of the show was just one promo, which seems like not a great use of time when you don't have any women's matches on the show at all. There was a women's segment, but it defies all logic. Not all logic, just most logic. And, oh, what else? A tag match nobody cares about. Two tag matches nobody cares about. I wish I could, but I have zero faith in them. And then there's this Baron Corbin shit that keeps going and 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 going, and I don't know where it's headed. Well, I do, after last night, but nowhere good. Let's just say that. But you know what was good? Following that trash fire of SmackDown, there was a raging inferno of awesome called AEW Rampage. And I'm going to do a real quick review on that. Probably every time I do a SmackDown review, I will also do a quick Rampage review added on, so that people who are like, well, you just hate everything. No, I don't. It's a lovely fruit smoothie. So let's just get into it. John Cena. He comes out and he says that he says, with school going back in session, it's perfect time to give Reigns his report card. And I'm like, where is this going? No, I mean, like, okay. Reigns is a D. Below average D. A D head. A D bag. And a huge D for disappointment. Because for 10 years, WWE has been selling us Roman Reigns, and judging by the numbers, the only one buying is Roman. Yeah, it's Roman's fault the ratings have tanked. It's Roman's fault. Definitely. This isn't projection by the people who were telling him, like, hey, can you, like, John, here's this idea we want to run by you for what the promo should be, and be like, okay, cool. And I know he gets to say his own stuff, but they give him guidelines. Hey, make sure that you tell everybody that it's Roman's fault that the ratings suck. Okay? Not ours. Not mine, says Vince. I'm going to give Reigns an F, and Reigns is going to receive that F from me at SummerSlam. I want to hear what Tulsa feels about this. You should never, ever, ever ask Tulsa what it feels about anything. Sorry, those of you who may live in Tulsa. On the whole, Tulsa doesn't get up to anything good. Whatever, if you say, hey, Tulsa, what should we do? What should we do today? Should we have a pizza party? Or should we massacre all of the black people in that neighborhood in 1920? Tulsa's going to choose option B over a pizza party. Never ask Tulsa what they want to do. If you do, and they say one thing, do the opposite. If they say, Tulsa, what should we do today? And they say, massacre a bunch of black people. You tell them, well, here's what we're not going to do. I'm sorry, that's unfair to paint Tulsa with such a broad brush. I did think it was funny, though. I want to hear what Tulsa has to say. Gee, I wonder if Tulsa is going to be pro John Cena. Do you think... I got a pop quiz for you, keeping with the theme. Do you think Reigns will beat the hell out of me at SummerSlam? And they're like, no, he won't. Well, actually, yes, he's going to. But that doesn't matter, because I know he's also going to lose. And there's not a damn thing he can do about it. This promo now, I'm counting the entrance of John Cena running down. From the first of... From that until this, I don't know what, 8 minutes? And then Roman's music hits. And he starts very slowly coming out onto the ramp and down the ramp. We go to commercial. He's still not in the ring yet. He's got to walk up. We come back from the commercial. He's still down at ringside. He's got to walk up the stairs, slowly get in the ring, walk around. Paul Heyman holds the belt up. We're now 15 minutes into this friggin' promo. And the best part of the promo was, and I mean this as a huge compliment to him, was Roman Reigns wasn't speaking. Not when John Cena was speaking, because honestly, some of the shit that he was saying was like, who fucking cares? Like 4 minutes out of this 26-minute segment, like 4 minutes was really good. Maybe another two was solid at best. The rest of it was either didn't matter at all, like entrances, or was like bad. Roman Reigns gets a D from me. He's a D-bag. That's shit, John. That's shit. It's not even like the other stuff, which was like, well, that's a weird thing to do, which we'll talk about. It was just like a bad joke. So, excuse me. Apologize. Sometimes those things hit me out of nowhere. This must be all that sunlight coming in through. It's getting in my nose. He says it's a lively crowd. Cena does. Thank you for joining us. Rain says, come on, let's get to it. Come on, let's do it. Oh, no. Say, Cena, I'm going to wait until next week on Saturday at SummerSlam to embarrass you in the biggest stage of them all. And Reigns goes, that's it. That's all you got. And I wish Roman had kept actually saying stuff into the mic for the entire promo. There was a moment where Cena says, that's all I need. I see you walking around like this is your show. And I wanted Roman to do stuff like this. I see you walking around like it's your show.
It is.
Like we all got to play by your rules.
You do.
Like this is your company. But everybody knows the company belongs to the fans.
I mean, they did pay money to come see me, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like he has earned the right to be the guy who
snidely interrupts Cena, because I would also like Cena to see if he can play off of that, because Cena's talented enough to improv it. But he says, I'm back because I'm the only one that can shut you up. You have been protected this whole time. I'm like, protected? Are we doing worky shooty? Rudy tooty worky shooty? Which was a wonderful phrase that I learned last night on the post show with Sean and Kate. Much love to Kate Hensler, who did a fantastic job on her first post SmackDown and Rampage show. What an amazing addition to the Fightful team. Looking forward to working with her. Rudy tooty worky shooty. Pardon me, there's so much. There's dust down here. My wife was cleaning up around here, doing some sweeping and stuff, and so there's a lot of dust. Apologize. Oh. Well, let's not have that happen again. But you're protected, dude. What the hell were you for however long you were here, John Cena? Were you not protected? Says, look at that face. He says, look at that face. Perfect face, the cheekbones, the chiseled jawline. And then he says, those giant bars of soap you got for teeth, which popped me. I'm gonna say it. I love that line. Those giant bars of soap you got for teeth. Loved it. I thought you were gonna do something better, like something different. Like what do you? This is all you got? It's the same stuff. You got D jokes, John. You're gonna you hit me with something better. Come on. And see, he's like, no, you're gonna kick my ass. You are at SummerSlam, but I did like this. I don't have to prove myself to you. I just have to beat you, because if I can get the title one more time, that'll be making number 17. Now here's my thought. Flair left WWE. He's got the 16 time. You got the 16 time. Yes, Tyler in the chat. It's not a FUBU jersey. It's Milwaukee Brewers jersey, man. When they say for us, by us, I'm not included in the us. I understand. I know my place. I think there's a chance that they might have Cena beat Roman. It's insane, but there's a chance they might do it, because depending on what you believe, Flair may have said some really uncomplimentary things to Vince to get his release. And Vince is not the kind of guy who takes shit like that well. So he might put his whole fucking company on hold to give John Cena the belt for a month. To have Cena beat Roman and then have Cena defend the title against Roman in a rematch at Madison Square Garden and have Roman win it back. Just so John Cena can be the 17-time world champ, and then Ric Flair is not in the record books anymore. Because that's how petty Vince McMahon is. So I think there's a shot at it. Reigns, like he says, all I got to do is pin you 1, 2, 3. I don't have to beat you down or whatever. All I got to do is outlast you and pin you 1, 2, 3. And then you could make it. You make history. You'll be the guy who lost to me when I became champion. You're still good, man. You're one of the best ever. Still very good. You're good enough to main event SummerSlam. Good enough to win the WWE title, but not good enough to win my title. And then, for no fucking reason, he says, "20 years of missionary might be good enough for you, but it's not good enough for Nikki Bella." I was like, what? But I'm going to smash you, pack you on a private jet, send you back to Hollywood. Cena says, well, you want to hypocritically knock me for doing D jokes, but then bring up sex positions, a breakup I had. Like, we can leave Nikki Bella out of this, like, forever. Yeah. Nikki Bella's moved on with her life, man. She's married. She's got a kid. John Cena's married to somebody else now. We don't need to keep bringing it up. And this was the problem with this is why they never should have fucking done the engagement in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania. And if they had gone through and actually done the wedding, you know, Vince McMahon would have had him get married in the middle of the ring. Like Macho Man and Elizabeth. Probably at the following Mania. I'm trying to think of what stupid line they'd give Nikki Bella to say. Like when they were like, "Do you take this man?" And Elizabeth said, "Oh yeah." Remember that? I wonder what they'd give the stupid line they'd give to Nikki to say. "I can see you," or some stupid shit. Let's never do the Nikki Bella stuff again. Can we do that? Let's just promise them to do that. Cool? Great. There was a moment where he says that, like, you're so protected, you ran Dean Ambrose out of WWE. And the crowd goes, "Ooh!" Like, I don't think that. No. Vince ran Dean Ambrose out of WWE. We all know that. We've heard the dude shoot interviews. Dean Ambrose is John Moxley now. He's over in another company that's coming up hard on your heels, Vince. He looks like a million bucks. Looks like he's never looked so good as a performer in his life. You had that in your employ for years. You had him pushing out hot dog carts and hitting Jericho with a plant. Don't blame Dean Ambrose on you. That's don't blame Dean Ambrose on Roman. That's you. That's on you, dude. He says, I'm gonna beat you, and then you're gonna become a trivia question. Who did I beat to become a C17 champion? All I gotta do is hang on for 1, 2, 3. He keeps doing the 1, 2, 3. It's a mnemonic device in a promo where you keep repeating the same thing, so by the end the crowd can say it with you, and they do. He says, "I'm gonna take the title. I'm going to hop the barrier and run out of Allegiant Stadium, but I may even blow you a kiss on the way out." Are we really going to invoke the memory of Punk? A week before, he takes all of the air out of SummerSlam by appearing on a show the night before. Is that really what we want to do? Like some kid says, what is he talking about? Oh man, 10 years ago, there was this guy
in WWE. We'll go home and we'll watch it on the Peacock. Man, that was your dad used to love him some CM Punk, man. That was some good stuff. 10 years ago, the Summer of Punk. That feud he had with John Cena was so good. And then they take like the 11, 12-year-old kid home. The kid just watches WWE because that's what dad does. And then he's like, they watch the pipe bomb. They watch Punk win the title from Cena and hop the barrier and blow a kiss to Vince McMahon. They watch all that thing and they go, and the kid goes, wow, this guy's really cool. And the dad goes, yeah, you know what he is. I want to, well, let's see what he's up to now. Maybe the dad doesn't follow the IWC. And they find out, well, you know what? CM Punk's coming back next week. And so they catch an episode of AEW and they go, well, this is a hell of a lot better than what we've been watching. And instantly, that kid is now an AEW fan for the rest of his life. And the dad goes, well, yeah, I can't deny it. This is a much better product than what I've been having you watch. So we're an AEW family now. That's what you did by having John Cena talk about CM Punk. All of a sudden, people go like, oh, yeah, you see CM Punk. What's he up to now? Oh, my God. Hey, look at that. He's coming back. Anyway, the whole time he's doing his final thing, which is a well laid out, well delivered promo, but just you don't need to bring up Punk and you don't need to bring up Dean Ambrose and nobody needs to. Reigns never should have brought up Nikki Bella. But it's all well delivered, and I guess that means something. But the whole time that Cena's doing this, Reigns isn't fuming. His jaw isn't clenching. He's just doing. Okay. He's just smiling to himself, thinking about the beatdown he's going to deliver to John Cena. And I prefer that so much than watching, like, I don't know, somebody like Sheamus going, oh, doing his Irish Yosemite Sam thing. Yeah, it's much better. Now we're 26 minutes into this damn thing. Not the podcast. The podcast is 23 minutes almost. I wanted to take up almost as much time talking about the first segment as the segment actually took up of the show. Don't worry, this whole thing's not going to go 2 hours though, because nothing else matters. They did. This is how little they think of the WWE Intercontinental title match. WWE Intercontinental title. A, they put it on Apollo Crews and did nothing with him for 4 fucking months. Nothing. Like, I don't know if he was going to play a major part in the Aleister Black attacked Big E thing back when that happened in May. But then they released Aleister Black and now he's like a king of the world on AEW. So I don't know what their plans were for Apollo Crews after that. But since then, it's just like he's just looked really bad in matches, lost a bunch of matches, lost a bunch of tag matches. And he lost enough matches. They're like, hey, why don't you defend the Intercontinental Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura on a regular ass fucking Friday show? Not really anything important. Just do it. Oh, and then we're gonna book you to lose. Like, I thought for sure this match was going to end in a DQ, and then they'll like, we're going to do a rematch at SummerSlam. Well, probably the next one. I mean, not SummerSlam, but like the pre-show, or is it going to be SummerSlam SmackDown? Remember how it was WrestleMania SmackDown was actually the pre-show? I honestly don't know what this was. I mean, I guess it's good to have a clean finish. Like, hey, wow, it's a clean finish, and the champion lost, and there's a change of the title, and then I realize how much I friggin' hate this version of Nakamura. Like, Pat McAfee making a fool of himself dancing on the damn table every time Rick Boogs plays the song. Rick Boogs is like, I could not give a shit. Like, I loved him in NXT when he was on the, doing Eric Bugenhagen stuff. Rick Boogs is an asswipe. It just is. The character's an asswipe. Like, I don't, it's not good. But Aziz is worse. Dabakato in a fucking jacket, completely doesn't, not doing anything. It's a shitty little match. Like, who cares? And now the question is, well, is Apollo Crews getting a rematch at SummerSlam? Because I don't know if I need that. And who else are you going to do it with? Finn Balor? I mean, Balor versus Nakamura might be fun. But, like, what is all this? The match, this is how you've trained the audience to not think anything is possible. Because the WWE Universe, when Nakamura hits an exploder suplex and then is waiting in the corner for the Kinshasa, and then he does it, the audience is like, holy shit, are they actually going to do the title change? Oh my God, they did it. Wow. Well, good for Nakamura, I suppose. Like, there was no heat to it. There was no anything. There was no, like, why does Nakamura and Apollo not like each other? Because Nakamura pinned Apollo once in a non-title match? Who the fuck cares? Like, this is a dumbass feud that nobody can get behind. And this is what they thought with the Intercontinental title. They could have made a program with Apollo Crews versus Kevin Owens or Nakamura or Cesaro. They could have actually had a program with it. I mean, how, if you, this is what I honestly thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to do Cesaro versus Apollo at SummerSlam. Like, Cesaro had all that momentum coming out of WrestleMania, and then WrestleMania Backlash, and then they had him lose to Seth, but I thought they could get him right back on the horse if they had him be the one to start pinning Apollo. And then at one point you'd have Dabakato in a fucking jacket. You'd have him come in and try to mess with Cesaro, and Cesaro could do the big swing to Aziz and get everybody really excited for, oh, look how strong Cesaro is. It'll be so cool. And then you could build to Cesaro becoming Intercontinental Champion, which is something I think we've all wanted forever. And as... Just have a fucking match. The IC title is dead. It's deader than the US title. They don't care about it. Look how bad they booked this title. They can start booking it well now, but like, it's like, you could have, if you're going to start booking the title well after the title change, book the chase for the title well, so that when the guy gets the title, we care. I like Shinsuke Nakamura. This fucking King Nakamura thing is stupid, especially because they're going to do another King of the Ring tournament soon. So his crown's going to be null and void unless he wins that. Hooray, I suppose. There's a video of the Alpha Academy and Street Profits. Scale Braxton asked the Street Profits some questions. Montez isn't worried about being back in the ring because he's been gone for 2 months, apparently. They cut promos on American Alpha, Alpha Academy. Gable and Ford work really well together. I really like the way they do some chain wrestling. It's a lot of fun. Otis, I love his baby Vader shtick. I think it's really, really good. Like, go all the way with it. Give him a mask. Give him that weird thing where he's got the shoulder pads and the helmet that are connected, and it's got like horns and like elephant tusks, and it like spews steam. Like, go all the way. Make him baby Vader. I want to see it. Boy, howdy, did I hate the end of this match. Gable and Otis are doing quick tags in and out. Otis hits a running shoulder into Dawkins in the middle of the in the turnbuckle, and then Gable and Otis are arguing with the referee about who's legal, right? Finally, Otis gets out of the ring. Like, this takes forever. And he's standing on the outside of the ring, and then Ford runs and does a huge flippy dip over the top rope, and, like, I don't know if Otis wasn't ready or whatever. Like, Ford nearly died, and Otis had to, like, figure out, I don't know if he's supposed to catch the guy or what was supposed to happen. That didn't work well. And Gable standing there, I am so distracted, and turns right around into Dawkins' finisher and loses. And Otis can't get in the ring fast enough. And, like, you have an amazingly talented technical wrestler who's a suplex machine. You have one of the best high flyers, most athletic guys you've ever done. You have an absolute powerhouse in Otis. And Angelo Dawkins, as the worst of this quartet, the worst of this quartet of four guys, is still pretty good and always improving. He's improved so much, but he's the worst of these four guys. Still very good. If you want to do a tag feud between them, do a tag feud between them. And then the winner of that feud can have a match versus the Usos. After the Usos send Dominic back to the fucking developmental after SummerSlam. I'll talk about that later. But this is not how you book this feud. Like, commit to something, for God's sake, please. It's a very good smoothie. It has some frozen berries, frozen pineapple, a banana, and then I don't know what you call it. Freshly squeezed orange juice. It's lovely. So Seth Rollins is in the production truck, and he's yelling about You know what I want. Play it. And Rollins takes the mic and says that he hates to be a party pooper, and that's all he is a party pooper. And he's wearing another stupid fucking suit. I hate it so much. Says Edge isn't going to be here tonight, and fans boo. I wonder if Edge was on the dark match. Because they love to do that. This guy you paid money to come see isn't here. Just kidding, he is, but we're not going to put him on TV. Rollins says, I wish he was here too, because I'd have to put his fish in his face. It's okay. I want Edge too, but it's okay. According to Edge, I'm the next best thing. I'm Edge Light. And then they show a video. This obviously by Rollins, narrated by somebody he's paid. And it's a retrospective on he and Edge. And Edge actually sucks, but Rollins is actually good. And then Edge sucks in a different way, but Rollins is actually very good. It's a waste of fucking time. Everyone's excited about this. I think the match is going to be good. I think the build has been uneven. I think I love that they're bringing up the moment that Edge was nearly killed by Rollins or whatever. I think that's a really good long-term storytelling thing. And I think the match is going to actually be pretty good if you don't force. I think that Edge has been having with Orton especially, and with Roman, he's having these 28, 32 minute matches. Like, just he's in great shape, but like, we don't need to see him out there like for half an hour. Like, let him and Rollins do a clean 16 minutes where you can do a little sprint near the end. But Rollins doesn't work that way either. Rollins, when was the last big match Rollins had that wasn't a half hour long? Like, it's, or at least 20 minutes. I do hyperbole, but like, they're always super long. Let him and Edge like just fucking hate each other and try and kill each other for 12 to 14 minutes. I mean, that's, And then Rollins is saying, actually, Edge should be thanking me. You should all be thanking me, which is the dumbest fucking heel thing. If I had stomped him in 2014, we wouldn't be having this conversation. He'd be in a wheelchair or something. His acting career, everything would have been pushing his home on a swing set because they'd be pushing him in a wheelchair. So you should all thank me for not ending his career 7 years ago, but maybe I'll end his career now. And wait, I'm going to stomp him. And if that's the end for Edge, he pauses. He pauses again. He pauses some more, and then he says, "Then so be it." They love to do the "then so be it." They love to do that with the heels. They love to do it. Dominic, Rey Mysterio's dipshit kid who sucks at being a professional wrestler, and I will die on this hill. He says he's really confident. "Dad, I'm so confident, Dad. We're totally going to beat Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler tonight. We're going to beat him. I think we're going to beat him. We're going to beat him." And Ray's like, "You got to be humble. Got to be humble. Otherwise, your head's not in the game or some bullshit." It's literally a 2.5 minute match. Like, they won the titles from Riggler and Zood. They won the titles from them, and Riggler and Zood, like it's a 2 minute match. I guess when the opening promo is 26 minutes, you got to cut time somewhere. So a minute and a half into the match, the Usos appear on the Titantron to try and distract Dominic, and he does get distracted. He hits with a famouser. He only gets a two count. Dominic hits an enziguri on Ziggler. Oh, that's right. Yeah, before the 619 can happen. That's when the Usos appear on the screen. Rude tags himself in. Ray is able to shove Dominic out of the way and says, "Hey, keep your head in the game." And then Robert Roode, like one of the elder statesmen, one of the guys who's been around the block forever, one of the guys who knows how to wrestle. Like, Robert Roode should not be getting outsmarted by Rey Mysterio's dipshit kid. That's an insult to Robert Roode and an insult to everybody who watches TV. Everybody who watches your product or ever watched, I don't know, Beer Money. Anybody watch Robert Roode elsewhere? Like, why the hell is this guy? This guy knows, like, Robert Roode's an intelligent wrestler. He's a wrestler's wrestler. He didn't lose the fucking roll ups to this fucking, I hate it. The Usos taunt them from the big screen. They got Saturday's title match, Ray and Dominic celebrate beating Riggler and Zood, who suck so much they got beat in 2 minutes. During the match, they are working Dominic's age. Somebody backstage either told them to lie about how old Dominic is or needs to know how old Dominic is so they can inform the people who are calling the match. Michael Cole says, "How old is Dominic?" He's 21 years old. He's 24. 24 is also young. Why do they need him to be 21? Is it because he sucks and needs more time to season? He does. He could do some moves. That's all he can do. He can do some moves. There are a lot of guys out there in like small time indies who could do tornado DDTs and shit. And they're probably better at cutting promos than Dominic Mysterio is. He's 21. Says Michael Cole. And what were you doing when you were 21? Well, I was on scholarship at the University of West Virginia, says Pat McAfee. But I took out $40,000 in loans I didn't need so I could hang out and party with my friends. When Pat McAfee was 24, he was punting in the playoffs as a professional football player. So let's, I don't understand why we're doing this. Also, I don't know if you've heard, but Michael Cole and Pat McAfee made sure to tell me multiple times that Dominic and Ray are a son and father team. Dominic is actually, in fact, Ray's son, which is big if true. I had never heard this before. I'm gonna have to do a couple of sources and see if I can corroborate this report. I'm not sure if I buy this. It's not a very trusted source. You know, Michael Cole was lying about his age. If Michael Cole's lying about how old Dominic is, how do we know Dominic is really Ray's son? Huh? If Michael Cole would lie about one thing so easily provable by, I don't know, doing a fucking Google search, why wouldn't he lie about whether or not Ray was actually Dominic's father? Now, sure, Dominic looks like the kid from 2005 all grown up, but he's way taller than Ray. I don't know. There's a guy over on AEW, Fuego do Sol, who would be way more convincing and a way better performer in a tag team match, a tag team with Rey Mysterio as his father. If Fuego do Sol, if Dominic had never been on TV and Fuego do Sol showed up and said, and Rey Mysterio said, "This is my son," I would believe it a hell of a lot more than Dominic as his son. And I think Fuego would be a lot better in-ring performer and be able to carry a promo and do everything else good about being a wrestler. Way better than Dominic, who fucking sucks. This fucking sucks too. I don't know why I hate Dominic so much. I really don't. He must probably a really nice kid. I hate nepotism, and I do think he's gotten a spot way higher than what he deserves, way too early. That's probably it. So Corbin comes to the ring. It's his last chance to raise funds before bankruptcy. Listen, I don't think this is how it works. Like, if your house has been repossessed, you're already bankrupt. What you do is you file bankruptcy to protect your assets. You file bankruptcy to make sure you don't have to lose your house. If you've already lost your house and then you file bankruptcy, I'm pretty sure that's just like, it's done. Like it's done. Why are we doing that? You already lost your cars and your house. Your wife left. Filing bankruptcy now is way too late. You should have filed for bankruptcy a long time ago. But they don't fucking care. Corbin comes out. This is the thing I hate. Corbin is acting as though this is a very serious thing. And then they have him come out with a phone and a card reader on it and said he needs $1,000 from everybody in the audience. Otherwise, he's going to have to declare bankruptcy. People declare bankruptcy all the time. It can be harsh on your credit, but people can rebuild their credit and they can go on to live okay lives. Declaring bankruptcy isn't like... I don't know. Like, I know Vince knows what declaring bankruptcy is because he's got fucking tax attorneys. When they say you have to give me $1,000, everybody here has to give me $1,000, or I'm gonna have to declare bankruptcy. That's fucking stupid. Mike Preventure in the chat says legitimately declaring bankruptcy was the best thing he ever did. It can really help out people. So it had like, I'm going to have to declare bankruptcy if everybody here doesn't give me $1,000. Like, he's not going to a debtor's prison for the rest of his life. Like, if you can't produce this, these millions of dollars in funds that you owe, sir, we will have you arrested and thrown you into the darkest, dankest pit where you will mine for noxious fumes. You put you in the sulfur mines. And for every ton of sulfur that you mine from the sulfur mines, sir, we will remove $1 from your debt. You should every ton of sulfur that you mine, we'll take $1 off your debt, which means you'll be in the sulfur mines for the next 8,000 years. It's bankruptcy, dude. And we're like, this is the best story in WWE. Fuck you. It's certainly not. It's got, there's holes all over it. I think Corbin is doing an admirable job portraying this role they've given him. Fuck you if you think this is the best story in WWE right now. Man, it's got so many holes in all of it. None of the things that he's saying make any sense because nobody's actually consistently writing it. Does he need a meal? Or does he need $100,000? I keep saying this. If they had him come out and say, my life is over. I've had to sell two of my three yachts. I have to rent out my summer home in the Hamptons as an Airbnb. My dry cleaning bill for my suits every month is $100,000. Could somebody please give me $100,000 just so my suits can get dry cleaned? If they had him doing that shit, then I'd be like, okay, fuck this guy. But they don't. They have him coming out and earnestly asking for anything somebody can give him. And then turning around and saying, no, I need $100,000. Dude, you need a barber. You need a new shirt. So anyway, Owens comes out. Says, I know you're here to contribute, to help me out. And Owens says, no, I'm not here to help you. You're here to stop this begging. This begging needs to stop. You need to stop embarrassing yourself and embarrassing the company. I tried to help you. A few weeks ago, I thought you were a guy like me who made some mistakes, is trying to atone for it. On Monday, you asked for $100,000. Risking famous people here for $1,000 each. But I need the money. Like, I totally understand if somebody says, I need $100,000 or they're going to foreclose on my home. Right. That's in a different thing than, please, sir, do you have a dollar so I can buy myself a sandwich? I'm really hungry. A person who needs $100,000 to make sure their home doesn't get foreclosed on, and a person who needs a dollar to help contribute so they could buy a cup of soup because it's cold out. Those are two very different things, and they're putting them all in together, which is dangerous. Again, it's because we're going to have millions of new homeless people when the time the federal eviction moratoriums are over. People haven't been able to pay their rent because of the pandemic. We're going to have a huge homeless problem in this country and probably all over the world, if we don't already. And making fun of it is and conflating a rich person with needing some extra money to make sure they don't lose their summer home with, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. It's very different. Carmen says, I'm not leaving the ring unless you give me $1,000. Okay, fine. But only if you beat me in a match right now. And if you lose, you have to stop begging. stop embarrassing WWE, because that's really what this is about, isn't it? Baron Corbin was booked by WWE to lose a match for his crown. And then he lost that match, and apparently all of his paycheck was tied to having the crown. Is that what happens when you become King of the Ring? When you become King of the Ring, so long as you are King of the Ring, then you're making millions of dollars. But as soon as you lose the title of King of the Ring, you're now getting paid nothing? I don't think that's legal. This is not the best storyline in WWE. Fucking holes everywhere. You have to stop embarrassing WWE, and you need no more begging. You got to help yourself. And that's it, isn't it? Isn't that Vince McMahon's central thesis of this fucking storyline? Poor people wouldn't be poor if they would just help themselves. Pull yourself up by your own fucking bootstraps, you lazy piece of shit, and go get a goddamn job. That is what Vince McMahon thinks of homeless people, of poor people. He wouldn't scrape them off his shoe. That's what he thinks of them. And he's having Kevin Owens say it to getting cheers from the crowd. This is deplorable fucking shit. It's disgusting. And so many people I see are lapping it up. It's fucking awful. And of course, Corbin has a match with Kevin Owens that he loses. Before the break, but when they come back from the break, because Kevin Owens gives him a stunner before the match starts, because that's what you do. Corbin called him a cheap piece of shit, but whatever. I fucking hate this. Why is it Kevin Owens' job to do this? Why doesn't Vince come out and say, "Hey, we'll renegotiate your contract"? Right, thank you. Mike Preventure. If Corbin loses this match, he doesn't get $1,000. Does he not get paid to wrestle in kayfabe? Like, if he wrestles a match, like, wait. He had a match versus Finn Balor last week. Did he not get paid to wrestle that match? I'm pretty sure you got to pay a guy to wrestle a match. Right? Otherwise, I don't know. What is it? Is it like bum fights? Like what are we, what the fuck? They're using a heel to make poor people look bad. It's great. Michael Cole says that the phone that Corbin has, they're trying to close this hole in the plot. The phone that Corbin has is actually on his mom's calling plan. Well, why doesn't his mom help him out? I don't know. People who are down in hard times, they have to fall back on family or whatever. Saying that, like, listen. You know how many people out there, like, have a phone on their mom's plan because you need a cell phone to get a job? Like, you basically need a cell phone to get a job. Nobody has a landline. So you need a cell phone because the cell phone, you can apply for jobs on it, on your smartphone. And then you need to give somebody a number where you can be reached if you want to get the job. Do you know how many people out there have a number, like a phone on their mom's or their cousin's or their whatever plan, so they can have a phone so they can try and get a job, so they can get back on their feet, so they can help themselves, so they can pull themselves up by their own fucking bootstraps?
But Michael Cole makes a joke about how Corbin has to use his mom's calling plan. This is, it's fucking awful, this storyline. And it's going to get worse in a second. Because Corbin, Kevin Owens beats him, because who fucking cares about the match, right? Kevin Owens beats him with a roll-up. And Corbin gets up, and Owens hits him with a stunner. Just have Owens hit Corbin with the stunner to win the match. Why are you beating up a dude who you just beat? How does... What are we doing with this? And for those people out there who are like, well, Corbin's an asshole, so he deserves it. Man, like, if that's how you're going to go through life, well, like, I don't know. Number one, it's a fucking, oh, God. You know, if somebody, when our fellow man falls down, we help them up. How many Christians are in the audience in Tulsa? What's the Christian way to help? I mean, you know that God helps those who help themselves. Well, yeah, in this case, God is Vince.
So they go to commercial, and Bianca Belair is she's writing on a giant board that Big E is holding, and I'm almost certain she did it wrong, because it's dot. Yeah, yes, she did it wrong. Poor Bianca, nobody told her. It was six dashes, and then six dashes below that. And a B is already filled in the beginning of each line, right? So I think this is Big E trying to show Bianca how to sign a contract, because she's never done that before. But she writes IANCA on the top row, and I'm pretty sure she's supposed to write ELAIR for Belair, but she just writes IANCA. So her name is Bianca Bianca. Okay. Fine. We come back from the break and Kayla stops Baron Corbin. Like, what now? Corbin doesn't know. But then he looks up and sees something. He runs off, shoves Big E, who's still backstage, grabs Money in the Bank, the Bunny Mac briefcase, and runs away. Now, we see him run for a long ways, and he walks out a door, and the camera stays there. Big E doesn't chase him, which I thought was a really stupid thing to not do. Also, a stupid thing to do this. You thought enough of Big E, and he got a huge ovation when he won that fucking briefcase, and you're doing this storyline with Big E. Because you don't know what to do with Big E having the briefcase, because you're fucking bankrupt in the brain, creatively bankrupt. You don't know what to do with Big E, one of your most over superstars, having the fucking briefcase. So you got to do this fucking storyline where he's got to chase fucking, as Pat McAfee deplorably calls him, bum ass Baron Corbin all over the place. And I'm sure they're going to have a match for the briefcase. Now, I'd say you can't just run up and steal the briefcase, which has a title contract in it, and then you get the title contract. I'd say that's not how contracts work. But this is WWE, and they proved a couple of weeks ago that contracts have no fucking meaning at all. So to, like, buy time until they can figure out what the fuck they're going to do with Big E cashing this briefcase... They're going to have Big E waste his fucking time and hours with this
Baron Corbin storyline with the briefcase. Maybe Corbin will offer to sell the contract to the highest bidder. This is fucking terrible. All of this is fucking terrible. Just have Bobby beat Goldberg next Saturday. But Goldberg's hit like four spears on him. So Bobby's got some really damaged ribs, okay? And then you have Big E come down. And you have Big E cash in on Bobby Lashley. And you hit the big ending, which damages the ribs. Hit the big ending on Bobby Lashley 3-4 times. And then you pin Bobby Lashley. And then Big E is WWE champion. Just fucking do that. Don't do this shit. Whatever this fucking shit is you have planned. Ha ha. I said planned. You don't plan anything. Whatever this fucking shit is you're going to wind up eventually doing, it's going to be dog shit. Just have Big E cash in on Bobby Lashley. Reunite the fucking New Day. Make Xavier Woods King of the Ring. And I'll forgive almost everything. But you're not going to do that, are you? Sonya Deville is out for a contract signing. You get your rematch, Sasha Banks. So she comes out, and then Bianca Belair comes out. Are you ready to sign, or are you going to run away again? Or should I turn my back so you can stab her in the back again? I see you rolling your eyes. I see you're still petty and jealous. I should have known that you'd stab me in the back. All you had to do was ask if you wanted a rematch. Sasha says you used your stank braid at WrestleMania and put me out for months. So that the whip across the... You're saying the hair whip put you out for months? The hair whip? I think it hurts more than it actually causes internal damage, but who knows? They start to argue, and Deville's like, shut up. We're not going to do this. These contract signings have been going haywire lately. Take your side now. So Sasha takes the pen. I need some witnesses. Some witnesses. Now, there's thousands of people in attendance in Tulsa, but maybe Sasha Banks believes that people from Tulsa don't count. I don't know. I'm sorry. Carmella comes out, and then Zelina Vega comes out. So Sasha Banks used that Disney Plus money to hire a couple of goons. The problem is these goons are a combined 0-78 against Bianca Belair. Wouldn't you go out and find people who might be more intimidating towards Bianca? I mean, I don't know who's available. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting if she had gone out and like hired, I don't know, Shayna Baszler, and I don't even know who's available. Listen, Liv Morgan was riding high going into Money in the Bank. Everyone wanted her to win. She didn't win. She hasn't been seen since. Toni Storm debuted now 3 weeks ago. Beat Zelina Vega in 2 minutes. Looked like a damn world beater. I can't wait to see more of Toni Storm. Haven't seen her since. But I know Carmella and Zelina don't like Bianca. But I don't know. I listen, I'm all for Sasha having an entourage. And honestly, these two women would be good for it. But all they're going to do is wind up losing to Bianca in singles matches in this feud. At least maybe this is how they're going to protect Bianca. They're going to have Carmella and Zelina interfere in the SummerSlam match, which allows Sasha to win the title back. That might be what they're going to do. Anyway, so Sasha says, "You weren't expecting this, rookie. I'm always two steps ahead of you." So Sasha signs the contract, and then Bianca signs the contract, and then it's just Bianca fighting off three women and trying to get her hands on Sasha. And eventually she's overwhelmed. So then Sasha uses Bianca's braid in the bank statement to win. And it's one of those things where, like, Bianca was a heel heel-ish. She was definitely very arrogant, and people didn't love her in NXT. All it would take is a slight tweak, and this confidence that she exudes as a babyface could be tweaked, and now it becomes arrogance. And if she's using that braid to her advantage over and over and over again as a heel, her tapping out by somebody using the braid in a crossface of some kind, or a triangle choke or whatever, however you want to do it, would be a great way to have that thing. So I feel like you could have saved this. I like the visual or whatever, but if Sasha's going to win via this method at SummerSlam, which I don't think she will. Like, usually babyfaces don't tap out to lose their titles. Almost never. So it's interesting. Whatever. Sasha went out and fired. She's like, I need two goons who hate Bianca. And Carmella and Zelina were like, we'll do it for free. Maybe. I don't know. So then after SmackDown happened, Rampage, the first Rampage happened. And if this is any indication of what Rampage is going to be, like, the thing is, we don't know, guys. It's the first ever episode last night in Pittsburgh cheering for their girl Britt Baker. So the crowd was absolutely white hot all night. Next week is the return of CM Punk in his hometown. I think next week, even though it's a 10 p.m. 1 hour show, it's CM Punk returning. I think that show does a million viewers at 10 p.m. on a Friday. After that, well, Punk's back and they're moving into All Out, and Brian Danielson is going to be back soon. They're going to do all kinds of hot angles. If this is what they're going to do, title matches, three matches back to back to back with a few promos setting them up. If that's what Rampage is going to be every night, it's the best show on Friday by miles. Miles. They had more in-ring action in an hour on Rampage than SmackDown had in 2 hours. Also, they had a women's match. If you're going to do a 26-minute fucking promo to open SmackDown, you can't also have zero women's matches. Not when you have people like Toni Storm and Liv Morgan hanging out and catering. The fuck? Christian beating Kenny for the Impact titles is absolutely the right move. Great match. Loved loved the finish. I mean, the ref distraction took too long, but going for the one-winged angel onto the chair, blocked by Christian, who does the kill switch onto the chair to win. Anytime you get the heel hoisted by his own petard, I'm on board. I like that, and I like this. I think Kenny loses the AAA title tonight to Andrade, which means the only thing he's got left, belt collector Kenny Omega, the only belt he's got left is the AEW title. And he's going to go full Gollum with that shit. Like, no, my precious, you can't have it. And he will do anything to keep it. So I think you're going to see some really cool, paranoid, crazy Kenny Omega stuff. And then when Paige eventually beats Kenny for the AEW title, it's going to mean so much more because Kenny is going to be hyper-focused on keeping that title. And when Kenny loses that, probably, I would think, at the Arthur Ashe show, there'll be nothing left for Kenny. He will be a broken shell of a man. And maybe that's when he gets to do his Bryan Danielson feud. But he's going to have lost his mind, and he'd see somebody take it out on. And that person is Bryan Danielson. And okay. Let's do that. Then we had Miro beat Fuego del Sol, who is now, for me, Fuego Mysterio. He's actually Rey's kid. I'm gonna say that. But I thought it was really great. They get a tornado DDT on him before the match started. Then the match started, hit another one, and was gonna go for the pin, but Miro rolled out of the ring. And then they almost did the 10 count, which would have had Miro keep the title, but Fuego would have gotten his contract because he would have won the match. Then he does a third tornado DDT, and Miro kicks out at 2.99. And then he tries another move to the top rope, but Miro catches him. Samoan drop, Bulgarian drop. By the way, let's get Chris Jericho off of commentary forever. I hate it. He's just screeching, just yelling things. They were going to commercial, and they were like, tonight, don't forget, Britt Baker defends the title against Red Velvet in our main event. And they're about to go off to commercial, and Chris Jericho, as though he is compelled by an unseen force to make sure he has the last word at all times, they say, don't forget, tonight's main event. And then right before commercial, Jericho goes, in Pittsburgh, baby! And I'm like, what the fuck? He's terrible. I'm so done with Chris Jericho in all facets. He's outstayed his welcome for me. I can't do it. Fuego has to tap out, but Tony Khan comes out, gives a contract to Sammy, who is Fuego's best friend, and he comes down and here's the actual contract. And apparently Fuego del Sol, had no idea he was actually going to be signed after losing the match. And they had Sammy do it. And so the tears that you hear from you see from Fuego on his rolling down inside his mask are real. And apparently the actual contract that he signed, it says he's the master of the tornado DDT, which I think is just great. Then they had the Britt Baker and Red Velvet match, and Red Velvet has improved so much. She's really talented, but Britt was never going to lose that match. And I loved that they kept working over the wrist for the whole match. So Britt couldn't do the lockjaw with her right hand, so she switched it around and did it with her left. Ah, perfect. And then they had Red Velvet and Chris Statlander. Britt go after Red Velvet after the match to reestablish herself as a heel. And then Chris Statlander, who's probably the next challenger before they eventually get around to Thunder Rosa, they have Chris Statlander come in to help, but then Jamie Hayter shows up after 2 years off of AEW, and she is now the new muscle for Britt Baker. I think it was all perfect. Rampage was a perfect hour of wrestling television. Next week's going to be even better. Programming note. There will be no SmackDown Sour Graps next week. Before you go, oh no, why? I need my Sour Graps fix. I thank you. But I'm going to do the actual SmackDown and Rampage post show next Friday with Jeremy Lambert. Then I'm going to be on the SummerSlam post show on Saturday. Then I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on the TakeOver post show on Sunday. That's three nights in a row where I'm not going to be able to do a sour grapes of SmackDown. But you will hear my thoughts about SmackDown and about Rampage. You'll just hear them on Friday night right after the show. Also, we are sneaky close to the 200th episode of Sour Grapes. And I want to thank everybody, the Fightful Faithful. This has been like an amazing ride, and it's been pretty awesome. And all thanks to you, wonderful people. At this point, man, I could never watch another WWE main roster show in my life and be fine. But I watch it because then I get to talk to you people about it, and you are my therapy. So thank you very much. And I know there are people who have contacted me and talk about how much this means that I'm able to put into words for them what they're thinking but aren't able to say about their frustrations with WWE. And I have the same ones. I want WWE to get better fast. I hope that whatever is going to, however good AEW is going to be, it keeps getting better and better. And eventually somebody has to step in and go, Vince, you're done. You can't be in charge of this thing anymore because you're completely lost touch with reality. We're going to stop doing these stupid storylines. I hope NBC Universal steps in and says, we are not renewing your contract. We're kicking you off Peacock. We're done. You got to make this better because the quality is terrible. I want WWE to be great. I do. I like watching really good wrestling. I loved watching Rampage last night. It wasn't because it was AEW. It was because it was good wrestling. The good, great professional wrestling is the best television in the world. It really is. Nothing can match it. Nothing can do all of the things. It's athletic feats and prowess. It's good storytelling. It's acting. It's the reaction of a live crowd, which makes everything better. There's nothing in the world that can match really, really good to great professional wrestling on television. And there's nothing in the world as bad as really, really bad professional wrestling on television. That's why I always hope for the best. Prepare for the worst. And right now, man, WWE main roster is the worst. I want it to get better. I really, 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 really do. I have no faith. The Fightful Faithful showing faith in us at Fightful, and I have no faith in the stuff that we cover on a regular basis. I don't know. There's some kind of irony in that, isn't there? Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'll see you all talking about Raw, the Go Home Raw on the podcast in the next coming days. Thank you so much. This has been Sour Grapes. I've been your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.